today we begin like this, the heart of our Lord's discourse. There are actually two parts to it. We start the first part today with, I am the bread of life. Up to now there's been dialogue or confrontation between Jesus and the Jews. Now he begins to speak, and he will speak all the way through for quite a while before anybody contests or interrupts or whatever. And so when you read it, and I really would encourage you to read this, remember you're listening to Jesus talk to you now. Whenever the gospel is read out in Mass, the Vatican Council says, it is still Christ proclaiming his gospel. So our Lord just told us this. And he's going to start this discourse now. I pointed out to you before how, you know, we've already had chapter 3 on baptism. Now we have chapter 6 on the Eucharist for several days. And then we move on. But it's to show us what are the present fruits of the resurrection. You know, the back of sin has been broken. The back of death has been broken. And we have the bread of life. Now they want a sign. They just had one. He multiplied loaves for 5,000 of them. We're like that ourselves, you know. Give me another sign. Do this again for me. One of these days I'll really believe in you. I'll really trust you. But now just keep doing these things for me. And Jesus is saying, look, what I want to do for you is give you myself. That's what I want to do for you. And so there's this typical rabbinic sort of a thing. Don't say, read it this way, but read it this way. Moses, who gave you the bread, that would be in Hebrew, Natan. Gave, Natan. Noah is my father who gives, noten. Now, he's giving you the bread. Now, it's not just a commemoration. I'm here. For the bread of God, what is the bread of God? It's that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. That's the bread of God. Life to the world forever. So, of course, like the Samaritan woman and many others in dialogue with Jesus, they don't get it. Give us this bread always. Remember how the woman said, you know, let me have that water. That'd be great. I wouldn't have to come here all the time. here, give us that bread. And then we have this statement. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger. Whoever believes in me will never thirst. And you hear, come and believe. They are synonyms. Huh? To come to Jesus is to believe in him, or better, to believe in him means to come to him. We don't believe in Jesus by saying, I believe Jesus is really great and there he is over there. No. To believe means to come to him and to accept what he offers by way of a very deep and intimate relationship with him. That's what it means to come to him. Why does he call him? He calls himself the light of life. Many other texts where you have this idea of life. Huh? The light of life. So, I'm the bread of life. Now, there's many ways to understand this. One is, it means who I am is life. It's like saying the city of Washington. You mean the city which is Washington. So the bread of life is the bread which is life. I suppose even though we live in a very prosperous country, we've all been hungry once or twice, you know. And, when you're really hungry, you know, you don't move very fast, you don't think very well, you know. And then you take some food and everything is different. You can think, you can move, you can... Well, that's a tiny symbol of what we're like spiritually. And without Jesus, We're not thinking, we're not moving, we're not life. With Jesus, we're drawing our energy from Jesus Christ, the Word of God incarnate. That's what he means, that he's the bread of life. And you see, that's reflected in understanding, wisdom. Remember, this is a whole discourse on the promise of wisdom. The first part, up to a certain verse there, verse 50, it's a discourse about wisdom with Eucharistic terminology. And then the second part is a discourse on the Eucharist with the wisdom terminology. Because it's both, my friends. It's both. If we do not receive this precious bread and wine with faith, it's just another ceremony. If we don't come and desire that his life replace our own, it's just another ceremony, a nice ceremony, but a ceremony. I am the bread of life. Do you understand? You eat me, you live. You don't live. And to eat him means to take him in. And that means to believe. And to have his reality, the most prominent thing in our spirit, in our heart, in our life. Then he's bread. He's wisdom. And wisdom isn't putting the accent on how to build bridges or organize, you know. Wisdom is to know God. That's wisdom. Because if you know God, you know the source of all that is. Wisdom is really what every human being hungers and thirsts for. And I use those words specifically because one of the great images of wisdom is always food and drink. You know, and read how many times in the literature, particularly the wisdom, wisdom comes and gives him the bread of understanding and the water of insight, you know. Wisdom comes and feeds this person. The challenge for us is to stop running around doing all these important things and listen. Hunger and thirst for Jesus. Make sure you've got time for him. Now, one way to do that, I remember when I first used to suggest this, women particularly, they're home with the kids, you know, and they're busy, and how the heck am I ever going to get a real decent prayer time? And I said, well, look, get your husband to stay home on Saturday or see Saturday morning, and you take off and go pray someplace all morning long. Well, gosh, you would have thought I invented the wheel. I mean, the fruit of that in people's lives is enormous. You got to fight for it, though. You got to get our prayer time in every day, you know, what we can do. But it's never enough. And besides that, we're lazy and distracted, and we don't get it in. Oh, we put some time in, punch the clock. But do we pray? Do we hunger and thirst for Jesus? So get away. You can do it. Go to your favorite quiet place, out of the house, where there's no phone. Don't bring your cell phone. Believe me, the world will get along without you and your cell phone for an hour, half a day. And you pray. If you can do it every week, blessed are you, at least every 2 weeks. Get away and pray for half a day. Seek the Lord. You will not be outdone in generosity. If we were to seek him with 1/100th of what the zeal that he has in seeking us, we'd turn into saints. He is the bread of life. This is not poetry. This is the teaching of God. So I would encourage everybody, fight for that. Get away somehow and pray. Bring John 6 and pray over it. And just say, I'm not leaving this prayer time till you explain something to me. Whatever you want to explain, but explain something. I can't go on just reading these words. Open them up. Make them have substance for me. Who are you? What does it mean you're the bread of life? You can do for my spirit and for me what, you know, bread can do when I'm hungry. Give me strength. Give me energy. Give me freshness. You can do that in my spirit all the time. But especially this sacred moment when we actually sacramentally take the bread. You know, in the, you know the gospel where our Lord is going to heal the synagogue leader's daughter, and the woman reaches out and touches his garments, and she's healed. And Jesus stops and says, "Who touched me?" And the apostle, and if we were there, we would have done that. Jesus, what do you mean, who touched you? Like this whole crowd is bumping into you all over the place. What do you mean, who touched you? I mean, what a funny question. And he said, I didn't ask who bumped into me. I asked who touched me. That takes faith. We can do that. We can come to the Eucharist and bump into him, but not touch him. Do you see why we have to pray to the Holy Spirit and get the Mother of God to come and have us as welcoming as she was of the day of the Incarnation? Welcome him.